Thank you, students. Thank you all for leading us. Bibles, take your Bibles, Mark chapter 7, and take the note page out with you. I'm going to teach one portion of Mark chapter 7. On the back of that, I've given you some take-home stuff you can study on this week on your own for Mark 7. We're going to zero in on verses 24 and following. I want to start off with something. I thought, you know, teenagers leading worship today, I thought they might enjoy this. These are seven things you'll never hear your dad say, all right? Number seven, I'll go reverse order. I notice all your friends have a hostile attitude. I like that. Never going to hear dad say that. Number six, well, now that you're 13, princess, I think you should start dating older guys. Not going to hear this dad say that. Number five, no son of mine is going to live under this roof without getting an earring. Not going to hear this dad say that, all right? Number four, why do you want to get a job? I've got plenty of money for you to spend. Not going to say that. Number three, your mother and I are going away for the weekend. You might want to consider throwing a big party. Not going to say that. Number two, here's my credit card and the keys to my car. Now go crazy, all right? Not going to say that. Number one, what you're not going to hear dad say, well, it looks like we're lost. I'm going to stop and ask for directions. Dad's not going to say that, all right? Well, today, guys, man, seriously, I want to take you to Mark chapter 7, verse 24. And you're going to see here a lady who's not afraid to ask for help when she needs it. And really, this is important for men, women, boys and girls today. I want you to get this point today. How you can get help when you need it. That's what we're going to learn today. How to get help when we need it. So take your pen out, take some notes, because really what we see here in God's Word is how this particular lady overcomes barriers and obstacles, and she gets the help that she needs, all right? And so jot these down, follow along with me, and hopefully we'll all get this. So stand with me, though, today. We're going to stand and honor God's Word, just like the people did in the Old Testament. Ezra opened up the scroll. The people stood at their feet. We do this in honor of the Lord and the blessing of His Word. Look at verse 24. You follow along in your Bible or read on the screen with me. I'm going to read out loud. Verse 24, Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. And from there he arose, that's Jesus, arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. In your notes, I've given you a little tiny map showing you where Tyre and Sidon are. And he entered a house, and he did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Father, I pray that you will now help us to learn how we can overcome whatever obstacles there might be in our life through the example of this lady when it comes to us realizing that we ought to come to you for help. Lord, whatever we think is in the way of us coming to you for help, Lord, I pray today we'll bust that barrier. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. God bless you. Go ahead and be seated. Let me share some of these thoughts here with you. Back in verse 24, you read here that Jesus arose, went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. That's about 20 to 30 miles northwest of the Sea of Galilee. If you look on your little map there, it's teeny tiny, I know. It's going to be hard to see. You can Google it later this afternoon on your own. You're going to see that Tyre was a city up towards the Mediterranean Sea. Think modern-day Lebanon. That's exactly where it is, all right? Modern-day Lebanon. Jesus makes this excursion, kind of takes this trip, kind of like a spiritual retreat, if you will, to Tyre, takes his main kind of small group of immediate disciples with him. And I think really what you see in the picture of Jesus here is we learn something about what we need to do, by the way, from the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus, remember, now Jesus, kids, remember, kids, listen, Jesus is 100% God, all right? He is the Son of God. He's 100% God. But the Bible tells us that Jesus humbled himself and took on humanity. Jesus also, even though he's 100% God, I know this sounds kind of confusing sometimes, but he's 100% human also, all right? And that means that Jesus, even though he's God, Jesus, when he was walking this earth, ministering upon this earth, he actually had to deal with the limitations and the trials and the tribulations that face all human beings. And one of those is sometimes, folks, we just get worn out, don't we? We just get tired. Sometimes we just need that time to pull away and get spiritually refreshed. You see Jesus do this in the Gospel of Mark. For instance, in chapter 1, you see Jesus go away and he prays. He goes to a quiet place to pray. Mark chapter 3, we see that Jesus goes up on a mountain. In chapter 6, Jesus tells his disciples that they need to come aside and rest. Jesus models for his disciples how important it is for us to get away and have some time with the Lord, for us to seek his face, for us to get emotionally and spiritually refreshed and revived. I kind of wrote this down. I need to come aside, or I'm going to come apart, all right? And so that's what Jesus is modeling here. He's taking his disciples out, it says, to a house. It says he entered a house, and you might say, well, whose house is it? Well, it must have been a friend's house. Jesus wasn't just going to break into somebody's house and stay there. I kind of picture it like this. Jesus is ministering there upon the Sea of Galilee, having a busy season of ministry. One of his friends comes to him and says, Jesus, I know you're looking to have a little time, kind of to get away for a little bit with your immediate disciples. Here's the keys to my beach house. Or I've got a cabin up outside of Tyre, and I know it's about 20, 30 miles from here. You know, it's a good little hike, but remember, he's going to walk there. It's a good hike, but you know what? You'll enjoy it. It'll be a nice getaway from you. And that's where Jesus is. But that doesn't stop this lady from coming to Jesus. See, look at what happens. It says, he didn't want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. Verse 25, but immediately a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. You see, sometimes people will call you, or you're at the house with the kids and you've just had a long day, or it's getting late in the evening. And don't you have moments? I know I have moments where I'm just like, you know what, I don't need another phone call right now. Or, you know, I just need a little bit of rest. I need to go out and take a good long walk. I need to go out and jog a little bit. I need to go for a bike ride. I need to do something just to have kind of a time out. We see that's what we see here is this lady could not have picked she couldn't have picked a worse time to come to Jesus than right here. But she doesn't let that barrier. Here's the barrier that she won't let stop her. I wrote down timing. She will not let the barrier of timing stop her. And I want to encourage you with something today. This barrier of bad timing and coming to Jesus is a barrier you and I never, ever have to worry about. You see, you and I never, ever need to worry about, is this a good time or a bad time to go to Jesus with a need in my life? Oh, there can be bad times when we go to each other, but there is never, ever, ever a bad time for you to go to Jesus. Jesus is available to you 24/7. So today I want you to say, I won't let timing stop me. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 5, you're studying that in your Bible study on Sunday morning. The book of James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. He gives generously to all without reproach. It's not like God is saying, hey, what do you want now? I mean, why are you bothering me now? I mean, can't you see I'm busy with something else? No, listen, I won't let timing stop me. Don't you let the barrier of timing stop you, because it's not something you have to worry about now with Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, come boldly before the throne of grace. So that's the first barrier we see her have to deal with. It's timing. But there's another barrier. Look there in verse 25. Immediately, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard of him, came and fell down at his feet. It says unclean spirit. That's a good translation of that, unclean spirit. It's literally the idea that there was some type of moral filth in this daughter's life. You say, well, it says little daughter. That seems kind of strange. Let me just, you know, I've got two daughters. Let me just clue you into something. They will always be my little daughters. You got that, guys? They will always be my little daughters. And I know a lot of state troopers. I do. A lot of them go to church here, you know? All right? They will always be my little girls. So when you sit there and you read that, let me tell you what I think is going on here. This lady comes to Jesus. And she has a daughter. She might have been 13. She might have been 30. Because parents, listen, they're all, you know, you can remember the day when that little girl, that little boy was put in your arms. I guarantee you something. Whether they're 13 or 30, they're still your kid. You still, when they get hurt, don't you wish it was as easy as it was when they were 3 to kiss the boo-boo and put the Winnie the Pooh Band-Aid on it. But sometimes when they're 30 now, it doesn't work as easy, does it? I want you to know this lady comes to Jesus because she is absolutely grieved over what she sees going on in her daughter's life. Her daughter has somehow come under the influence, and literally the Bible describes it as possessed by an unclean spirit. I don't know if it started with her hanging up with the wrong crowd. I don't know if it started with a poor self-esteem. All I know is this, is she has an unclean spirit. She is absolutely caught up under the possession of this evil, immoral lifestyle. You say, well, how does an evil spirit, an unclean spirit, get that kind of influence? Well, Scripture gives us, I think, two ways. Romans 6:16 warns us about becoming a slave to sin. I call that personal disobedience. Sometimes you can become heavily under the influence of an unclean spirit, plain and simply because you have just chosen to disobey the ways of God, personal disobedience. It could also be the effect of something else. Remember, she's growing up outside the city of Tyre. Tyre had actually done pretty well economically, was pretty well off. A lot of people would have said, well, they got nice houses, nice neighborhoods, good schools. Sound familiar? But yet, it was a land where the things of God were being rejected. And most of them did not worship the one true God. They worshiped after pagan gods. Exodus chapter 20 warns us when God gives the Ten Commandments that if a generation makes it a habit to disregard the commands of God and to worship false gods instead of the one true God, that the effects may be seen for generation after generation after generation. You see, not only personal disobedience, but what I call generational disobedience can lead to this. Now, this lady comes. She comes to Jesus, and it says her little daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit. It may have been the whole town knew her daughter's situation. It may have been that she comes there to Jesus and she, can you imagine what this mother might have felt? We don't know much about this mother's situation. We know that there evidently doesn't appear, at least here, to be a father in the picture. If there is a father, he's not coming to Jesus. She's coming to Jesus by herself. You might be here today and there is no husband in your life. The dad of your children isn't in your life anymore. And I want you to know something. You know what? Sometimes what we'll let be a barrier? Some sense of failure. I can't let anybody know what's going on in my daughter's life. I can't let anybody know what's going on in my son's life. You know, again, I mean, they might reject me. They might say, man, you know, what kind of house are you running? Let me tell you a barrier that this lady would not let stop her from coming to Jesus. It's this barrier, failure. You might be here today and say, you know what, I don't want anybody to know this is going on. Let me let you know about a family, a very famous Christian family. The family of Billy and Ruth Graham. You know, Billy and Ruth Graham knew what it was like to have a wayward son. They knew what it was like to have a son that actually was a prodigal son in their family. And they kept praying for Franklin. There were times where they showed Franklin tough love. And they had to discipline Franklin. And Franklin grew into a young adult who in many ways just seemed to be captured by ungodliness. But they didn't give up praying. They kept praying, and they stood strong, and they asked for others to pray. And my message to you is this today, friend. Don't, parents, listen to me. Parents, I know you can feel the pain that only a parent who's had a prodigal has ever felt. And I want to encourage you today to know that you can always come to Jesus. Don't let whatever failure might be there. You know, I wrote this down. I had three theories about raising children before I had children. Now I have three children and I have no theories, all right? You know, I mean, raising children, there's a lot of challenges. And dads sometimes will sit there and say, you know what, I'm looking back and now they're this old. And oh, I should have done this and I should have done that. And sometimes we can fear that we failed our own children. Sometimes we'll see them go off on that path and then one does like this and it doesn't always make sense to us. Bottom line is, I'm telling you this today, Don't you let whatever sense of failure there might be stop you from coming to Jesus for help. Billy and Ruth Graham not only had a son who was a prodigal named Franklin, who, by the way, now actually leads the Billy Graham Association, is a prolific preacher of the gospel, but they knew what it was like to see a grandson be a prodigal. Ruth Bell Graham wrote a book that I'll recommend to you, called Prodigals and Those Who Love Them. And in that book, she writes about, along with her daughter, who had a prodigal son, She writes about how throughout the history of Christianity, there have been parents who didn't give up on prodigal, wayward children. They just didn't throw up their hands and say, well, I have failed. No, they prayed, they ministered, they disciplined, and they took them to the Lord. It's a great story. I got to thinking today I wanted to give you a practical encouragement. Here it is. Don't stop praying for your kids. Don't stop praying for your kids. And I wanted to give you a little bit of practical help. And you know where I went for it? Moms in Touch. Moms in Touch is a prayer ministry. I wish I could tell you there was a ministry, guys, called Dads in Touch, but you know, maybe we need to start one. There's a ministry called Moms in Touch. And on the Moms in Touch website, they give you some scriptures that you pray for your children. Write these down. There's two of them. I'm just going to give you 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 is a great scripture to pray for your children. Here's a second one. You say, well, I've got a child who is in some serious bondage. Pray Acts, here it is, Acts chapter 26, verse 18, and insert their name. Open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. This is the verse. So that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in Jesus. That was this woman's prayer. Folks, I'm telling you, don't let timing or failure stop you from coming to Jesus for help. There's another barrier that she wouldn't let stand in her way, and it's right here for us to see. Verse 26, it says, now the woman, that was honestly something against her right there. Women weren't supposed to do what she's doing right here, ladies. Back then, women weren't supposed to come in public like that, and they weren't supposed to approach a religious leader. They weren't really supposed to approach men at all for any kind of help or assistance. But this lady, and you see Jesus ministered to women when they would come to him. This is an example of it. It says she was a Gentile and a Syrophoenician by birth. Syro meaning Syria, and Phoenician meaning from Phoenicia, which would be modern-day Lebanon. This lady wasn't Jewish. And the writer puts that here because Mark, when he writes this particular gospel, he wants people of all nations, of all cultures, of all backgrounds, of all races and backgrounds to know that, listen, Jesus is for you too. You see, there's a third barrier she would not let stand in her way, and it's the barrier of identity. She just drives right through this, and she says, I won't let my identity stop me. And you may say, well, listen, you know, Jesus is kind of like the suburban Savior. Jesus is the American Savior. No, I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ is the Savior of Saviors. He is the only Savior. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm telling you, don't ever, ever forget that. The Bible says there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Now see, this would have caught the disciples' attention because if you go back this week and you study the first part of Mark chapter 7, you're going to see that Jesus, before they'd gone on this little trip, had to spend some time dealing with the bigoted Pharisees and all of their pride. And they were basically saying it's all about our tradition and about religion and you know, God would save us, but he would never, ever, ever save a Gentile or anybody who's not Jewish. And Jesus is going to prove right here that it was no accident, folks. It was no coincidence that this little side trip happened to be in Gentile territory. By the way, it's no coincidence that each of the four Gospels of your New Testament end with Jesus telling us to go into all the nations and preach forgiveness of sins. That's no coincidence. You see, Jesus isn't just for Americans. By the way, you know, where you're seeing on the news right now, a lot of the turmoil going on in Egypt and in the Middle East, and understand this, that's exactly where Jesus walked. Jesus lived in that part of the world. Some people say, well, Jesus is the American God. No, listen, Jesus is the one and only Son of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. See, don't let identity stop you from coming to Jesus. You know, I pray that this church, I pray that this church will look like this community, will minister to this community, that we will be bold about going to the unreached peoples of this world, that we will be willing to go to the hurting and the helpless of this world. In just a couple weeks, I'll get on an airplane and I'm going to fly to Eastern Europe, a place dominated, used to be dominated by communism. And I will have the privilege of walking amongst and ministering to the Roma people known as gypsies. And these are people that are considered the scourge of the earth in their own country. But God is beginning to do a great work there and showing these folks that Jesus is their Savior too and that they can come unto Him. I think about our guys who just got back from Bangladesh, a country that's got a tremendous Islamic population. And I was hearing testimony this week. You won't hear this on the news channels, but hearing testimony this week, boys and girls, of how Jesus Christ, the same Jesus you learned about in your vacation Bible school, is saving people and changing lives on the other side of the world. Amen? And no matter what your race is, no matter what your background, your socioeconomics, I want you to know, this is a place where we invite you to come and worship and fellowship, but don't just stay here, man. Join with us and help us go to our neighbors and to the nations. Because you know what? Jesus is the one people need to come to when they need help. Well, she wouldn't let her identity stand in her way. There was something else you see here, and you'll miss this if you're not careful. Verse 26, the second sentence in that verse, it says she begged him. King James says she kept asking. That's a good translation. She begged him, but repeatedly she kept asking. She kept asking over and over again. It's the idea that she is like persistent and noisy. The Gospel of Matthew has the counterpart to this story. He also records this, but he gives a few more details. He says she cries out. It's the picture that she's just there at Jesus' feet, and she keeps asking him, please, please do something about my daughter. And she's just crying out. But as she begged, the Gospel of Matthew tells us he stood there in silence. Imagine this. After church service, we're just standing out here talking. I'm talking to somebody. You come up, and you ask me a pressing question. All right, Steve, you come up and say, and I just look at you. I just look at you. You ask me again. I just look at you. You know, now I've known him for a while. Now, he might just think I'm having a weird day or something, you know. But especially if you just met me, and I didn't ask you after asking me like repeatedly, you know what I bet you would do? I bet you'd say, well, forget you, buddy. I'm going to go on down the street, you know? There's this, what I would call delay. But understand this. Jesus just isn't trying to put her off. Something dynamic's getting ready to happen. You see, what she does not let stop her is delay. She just keeps driving through that barrier. You see, sometimes we'll pray something to the Lord or we'll ask the Lord about something, and it seems like He's silent. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said sometimes God seems to be as silent as a stone. Sometimes it can seem that way. Man, we're asking and we're praying, but you know what we're doing? That we're doing exactly what Jesus encouraged us to do in the Gospel of Matthew. He said, ask, seek, and knock. By the way, what that means is you keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking. Because you see, in him delaying, what Jesus is doing is he's not denying or trying to discourage her faith. What he's getting ready to do in the midst of developing her faith is he's getting ready to, catch this, to display her faith for his disciples to see. The Gospel of Matthew says that Jesus looks at them and says, her faith is great. You've experienced that in your own life. You see someone just pray for something in passing and boom, all of a sudden it's an answered prayer, you know. It turns out the way they wanted, all this and that. It doesn't really impress me that much, does it? No. You know what really gets my attention? When I see someone who perseveres in prayer and they're persistent, and it's like, man, they just keep praying and they keep trusting God and they just keep seeking God and they keep, and it might be years past. You know what, man, that kind of faith gets my attention. Don't let delay stop you. But one last barrier, and this is the biggie, because most of the rest of the verses are left for this, and I didn't read it to you yet. Look at verse 27. Jesus responds then finally. He says, you got to listen close here, let the children, motioning to the disciples, I picture it, let the children be fed first. For it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Did you catch that? Jesus is talking to a lady. He says, well, it's not right to take what I'm feeding them and toss it to the dogs. You calling me a dog? Did you just call me a dog, Jesus? Jesus refers to her as a dog. I find that strange, kids. That just doesn't make sense. Why would Jesus do that? Right at this point, I picture the disciples kind of on the side, high-fiving and bumping chests. And saying, man, he told her, didn't he? He set her straight. But then they would have said, but it was weird. The word he used for dog, it's lost in the English translation, by the way. Wasn't that uncommon for Jewish folks back at this time? There was a lot of racism between them and other Gentiles and vice versa, back and forth. They typically would refer to Gentiles as mangy street dogs. But Jesus didn't use that word. In referring to her, he used the word for a house pet, a puppy. Watch your response. Here comes the aha moment, all right? It says in verse 28, she answered him, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. She's saying, even a crumb of your grace and your strength in my life will satisfy. By the way, the word she uses for dog, lost in the English translation in the Greek New Testament, is not the word that he used, house pet or little puppy. It's the word mangy street dog. Here's the barrier she busts through. And it is the barrier that has haunted us as human beings since the dawn of time. Pride. I won't let pride stop me. The Bible says in the book of James, but he gives more grace. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. If you can start the day without caffeine, if you can always be cheerful, ignoring aches and pains, if you can resist complaining or boring people with your troubles, if you can eat the same food every day and be grateful for it, if you can understand when your loved ones are too busy to give you any time, if you can overlook it when those who you love take it out on you when through no fault of your own something goes wrong, if you can take criticism and blame without resentment, if you can ignore your friend's limited education and never correct him, if you can resist treating a rich friend better than a poor friend, if you can face the world without lies and deceit, if you can honestly say deep down in your heart, you have no prejudice against color or creed or politics, then, my friend, you're almost as good as your dog. You know what? Listen. This lady understood loud and clear what it was for Jesus to be her master. I was a teenager living on Maynard Drive in Newport News. We had some neighbors three houses down across the street. They had a basset hound, had legs no longer than that, body about that long, about that big around. You know what I'm talking about, a basset, all right? And they were going to be on vacation a week. So asked my mom if you would just look in on Puddin', and give Puddin' some water and some fresh food. Just check on her about once a day. That'll be great. That's all she'll need. My mom went down there about 4 days past, but on the fourth afternoon, mom went down there, did that, came back home, went out in the garage, though, that afternoon, and there's Puddin' standing in the garage. My mom thought, well, I must have left the gate open. Takes her back down there, lets her in the chain link fence backyard, shuts the gate. Day five comes by, same routine. That afternoon, comes out in the garage, and there stands Puddin', tail wagging. My mom walks her back down there. My mom finally concluded, figured this out. Puddin', after my mom would leave, Puddin' would scale the chain link fence just to get back with mom. I'm telling you, don't you let any barrier stand in your way when it comes to getting the Lord. Don't let any of it stand in your way. You can bust through timing, failure, identity, delay, and even your pride. By God's grace, it can happen. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that through this scripture today, you'll know that you can always and you should come to Jesus for help. You can come to Him. You can cry out to Him just as she did. Man, woman, boy, girl, you can do that. We're going to sing a verse or two of this song. And as we do that, we're going to have a couple ministers down front. If you're here today and you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as your master, we invite you to come forward during this song and talk to one of our ministers. We're going to get your name. We're going to pray with you. We're going to talk with you, encourage you in what that means. Maybe you want to unite with this church family through membership. You can come forward during this time, and we'll have some folks ready to talk with you about that and pray with you. During this song, you may just want to say a prayer for one of your kids. You may just want to look over and your children are still little. You can start praying for your children right now. You may not have children. Well, there's a lot of children in this church, in this community. And as a dad, I encourage you. You don't think you have kids to pray for? I got three. You can pray for them right now. Whatever your situation, maybe you say, you know what, there's some failure in my life. Bring it to Jesus, lay it at His feet. Is there some pride there? Maybe you're tired today. You've been praying and you feel like you're knocking at a door, no one's home. I'm telling you, you keep persisting. Father, move among us now, I pray. Help this time to be a time where we consider Your Scripture. Lord, help us to take it to heart. Help us to really remember what we've seen today through the life of this praying mom. Lord Jesus, may You get the glory in what happens next. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Let's stand.